Grace and peace to you from all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many of you maybe realize that I don't actually wear my clerical collar very often. I only have the one. But the occasions that I do wear it typically are funerals. And this Ash Wednesday is the day in which we recognize and remember our mortality. And so I thought it kind of fitting to wear my collar on this day. Well, a lot of pastors have been griping and worrying about Valentine's Day falling on Ash Wednesday this year. I think we have a little bit lower attendance than we have had at other years. But we're doing pretty good, guys, right? Any more secular holidays and celebrations tend to be given priority over religious observances. And even though Valentine's Day began as a religious holiday, much of its appeal has little to do with its original meaning. Instead of paying homage to the life and witness of Saint Valentine, the day has become an occasion for men to shell out hundreds of dollars on flowers, dinners, chocolates, and teddy bears. It's also an occasion for women to get mad when the men in their lives do not do those things. In the world at large, it is a holiday for romantic relationships, with little emphasis put on the fact that it is actually a commemoration of a man who died for what he believed in. Just as St. Patrick's Day now leads people into bars and drinking alcohol and the like, and people are more likely to celebrate Christmas these days by watching movies at home than by going to church together, secular holiday celebrations tend to win out when they compete with the moments in the life of the church, like Ash Wednesday. However, I'm actually kind of glad that Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday coincide this year, because it gives me a chance to talk about mortality in a new way. While the life of St. Valentine is shrouded in legend as much as any reliable truth, one story tells that St. Valentine defied the Roman Empire and Emperor by marrying Roman soldiers in secret in the 3rd century AD. Soldiers who had families had conflicted loyalties, right? As you can imagine. So Emperor Claudius II reportedly forbade his soldiers to marry, or from marrying. A believer in Christian marriage and love, Valentine apparently married these couples in secret, in defiance of the emperor's direct order. Other legends hold that his greatest crimes were simply helping fellow Christians in their time of need, which was illegal at that time under Roman law. Whatever the case and real facts of his life may have been, sources do agree that Valentine was beaten and beheaded on this day, February 14th, in the year 269 AD. From dust he came, and to dust he did return. This gets at the heart of Christian life and love, though, doesn't it? We embrace our mortality, acknowledging regularly that we are finite creatures and we will die. We love one another, we love our God in the face of death. And we trust that even though we are mere soil, though we are dust, that we are dirt, we trust that God breathes life into us anyway. In one right, it seems like a waste of effort, right, and emotional energy to love people in this fleeting world of ours. But on the other hand, loving one another and loving God in the face of our inevitable deaths is the highest calling of our lives. For dust to show love to other dust, which we are called to do daily, is a powerful, mysterious phenomenon which gives meaning to the meaningless hope to the hopeless, and life to lifelessness. And indeed, the business of death, love, and faith, amongst other things, is a great mystery. It is not easy to figure out why or how we would experience life in the face of death, hope in the face of hopelessness, and meaning amidst the meaninglessness of it all. But we do. We do, especially as Christians. Now, there was another Roman governor. I'm on the topic of Rome tonight, I guess. Another Roman governor, and mind you, not Pontius Pilate, who served in a province east of Rome, I believe it was in the first century AD. And this governor could not fathom the faith of the first Christians that he encountered. You see, the Roman religion was very pluralistic and accommodating. And it was welcoming and encouraging the faith of conquered nations to be practiced and practiced in peace without interference from Roman rulers. It was encouraged to be practiced in peace by people so long as they paid their taxes and didn't rebel. Yet the Roman law also prohibited any new religions from forming and popping them up amongst the empire's vast domain. Now, this is where Christianity butted heads with the Roman state, since it was a new religious movement with a Messiah who was not being followed when the empire had taken over Palestine about a century prior. It was illegal to be Christian. But, on the other hand, there were a myriad of other gods to follow, right? So when this governor to the east of Rome caught two Christian slaves worshiping our Lord and practicing this new faith, he ordered them to renounce the faith or be executed. He assumed that they would surely deny their illegal faith and cling to any number of gods that were ready and waiting for their devotion. One god was good as another, right? Why put your life on the line when you do not have to? But these two ancient slave women could not renounce the Savior who promised to make them more than dust and ashes. Though the Roman governor had power to return them to the dirt, Jesus promised to raise them from it. So they refused to give up on their God, and they were killed for it. Executed, like the Roman governor had said. Now, their level of devotion and love for our Lord remained a mystery to this governor, who had to write to his superiors for advice on what to do about these new believers, who harbored a faith that he could not comprehend. Mysterious indeed. Now, throughout the season of Lent, we will explore mysteries like this that surround questions of our faith and our life in this world. Though there is much that we have learned about our world and the universe through science and other academic practices and testing and whatnot, there are also fundamental questions of our existence that defy explanation. Why are you here? What is your purpose? Why do we die? Why do we live? How can God be real if I don't see him? Where is God? These are just a few questions that lead us to recognize that there are many aspects of our lives and our faith that are fundamentally mysterious and cannot be explained away. The Christian faith is about embracing the mysteries of God and the universe that God made, and trusting in God's love for and power over creation more than our ability to find our way through it on our own. And as we start this, I think I wrote this in the newsletter. I'm calling it a Lent venture. We start this Lent venture here tonight by embracing the paradox of our mortality. We believe that we are alive in Christ. And yet, we are dust, and to dust we shall return. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.